Parak Yud Mishnah Tes. Afreilich and Shushan Purim to everybody. And today certainly is a very freilich and day because we're going to complete Masechta Pesachim, the last Mishnah. And we actually have some exciting numbers to share with you. So, before we begin the last Mishnah, when we look at the numbers, it took us a total of 45 days to complete Mishnayos Pesachim. We began on January 29th, and now we're completing today on March 22nd. It was a total of 10 parakim, 10 chapters, and 89 Mishnayos. So you do the math. 89 Mishnayos divided by 2 is roughly 45 Mishnayos. 45 Mishnayos in 45 days, you times that by 10 minutes a day on average, is 7.5 hours of Torah study. So by taking 10 minutes out of your day consistently, it only added up to 7.5 hours. Can you imagine? 7.5 hours, you complete an entire Mishnayos Pesachim, and it's yours in your pocket forever. Unbelievable. So mazel tov to all our listeners. God willing, on Sunday we'll begin the next Mishnayos in this cycle, which is Shekalim, Mishnayos Shekalim. And we'll have an introduction and explain exactly what it talks about. But without further ado, let's complete today's Mishnah. We have one Mishnah to complete the Mishnayos. So Perek Yud, Mishnah Tes, here we go. So this is going back to the actual Korban Pesach, some rules about the Korban Pesach during the times when the Beis HaMikdash stood and we had a Korban Pesach. HaPesach, the Korban Pesach, the meat of the Korban Pesach, Achar Chatzos, so we said that you have to eat the Korban Pesach before Chatzos. Now what happens after Chatzos, right? So after Chatzos, Metame Es Hayadayim, if you touch it, it'll actually make you Tame. How? Because after Chatzos, you can't eat it anymore. It's called Nosar. You're supposed to eat the whole Korban before Chatzos. And now that you didn't, after Chatzos, whatever's left over is considered Nosar. And Nosar is the rule where you have to burn the leftovers the next day. It's actually a negative commandment. You cannot make Nosar. You can't make leftovers. But if you did, it's a positive commandment the following day to burn it to rectify the fact that you left it over. So the Gemara explains that our Mishnah goes like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds that on a Torah level, the Korban Pesach has to be finished by Chatzos. The Chachamim, they argue in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they hold that on a Torah level, you really have until Amar HaShachar, till the rise of the sun in the morning. It's a debate. They base it on different psukim in the Torah. But even the Chachamim, they hold that on a rabbinic level, they made a gzera that although on a Torah level, the person has up until Amar HaShachar to eat the Korban Pesach, still, they should stop also Echatzos on a rabbinic level to distance a person from making an Avera. So the rule here is that if you did leave it over and you touched it after Chatzos, your hands become Tame. Why would they become Tame? So the Mishnah is going to discuss it. Let's see. The Mishnah continues. We'll get back to this in a moment. HaPigul v'hanosar. Pigul and nosar. Metame'in esayadam. Make the hands Tame. So again, we're mentioning nosar. It's just a repeat. We're going to explain what it is now. So what's Pigul? Okay, so if a person does one of the four services of bringing a karban, so this is really with any kind of karban, there's the shechita, the shechting, the kabbalas hadam, accepting of the blood in a utensil from the neck of the animal, holechas hadam, bringing the blood to the mizbeach, to the altar, and then zrika, to spritz it on top of the mizbeach. So if a person does any of these four processes of the service, and then he has the wrong intentions in mind. He thinks, oh, you know what? I'm going to do this, but I want to eat the carbon after the allotted time. Or I want to burn the emura of the fats the next day, which is not in the right time. So you're having a invalid thought. You're thinking of, you know, doing something with the carbon, which is invalid, while you're doing the actual process. So what happens is that right then and there, the carbon becomes pusil. It's invalid because you had the wrong intentions. And that's what pigul is. So both pigul and noser that we just explained, the Chachamim made a gzera that if you touch this pigul or the nosar, your hands become tame. And the reason is, the Gemara explains that pigul, the reason is that because of chashte kahuna, meaning sometimes kohanim, they didn't like, you know, let's just say a person would bring a karban, right? And then the kohanim, let's just say, would eat the karban. Or sometimes the owners themselves would eat the karban. But the point was is that sometimes kohanim, you know, they didn't like their owners and they wanted to mess over their owners. So they would do something, they would make a pigul in the karban to disqualify the karban and mess up the owners. So they said, in order to avoid this, and the Kohanim shouldn't be messing over their owners, they said, if you have a wrong thought, and then you touch it, you're tamei. So no Kohen wants to become tamei. So therefore, they made this rule, so the Kohanim, when they bring the carbon, they should do it the right way, and not mess around. And Noser also is in order that the Kohanim shouldn't be lazy, and they should eat the entire carbon in a lot of time, and not to leave it over. And if they leave it over and they touch it, they become tamei. So these are two things to keep Kohanim, you know, in track, and that they shouldn't, you know, falter. And the truth is, you know, sometimes it's Kohanim, sometimes it's regular people. Because like with the Karban Pesach, regular people eat it. And if regular people don't eat it by the lot of time, then if they touch it after Chatzos, their hands would become tamei also. And then with Pigol, you know, it depends if the Kohen's shechting it or if a person's shechting it, but the idea is the same. A person who touches Pigol or Noser, their hands become tamei. And the Chachamim made this takana just to enforce that we don't want pigul, we don't want noser happening. So when you shech the carbon, have the right intentions in mind, don't play around. And when you're eating the carbon, eat in the right time, don't leave it over. Next, Beirach Birkas HaPesach Pater Es Shal Zevach. So we had mentioned that when you bring the carbon Pesach, you also bring a carbon Chagiga along with the carbon Pesach. And the reason was that when you eat the Karban Pesach, you should eat it on a full belly so that, you know, you really, really enjoy it. And what happens is that first you make a bracha on the first Karban you bring, which is the Chagiga. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kidshanu B'Matzos Tzvanu, Al Achilas Zevach, on the eating of this Karban. Okay? And then you make a bracha, Asher Kidshanu B'Matzos Tzvanu, Al Achilas Pesach, on eating the Karban Pesach. So first the Chagiga, then the Pesach, and then you make the carbon Chagiga bracha, and then the carbon Pesach bracha. So the Mishnah says here is, what happens if you switched it around and you made the bracha on the carbon Pesach before, and now you're about to bring the carbon Chagiga? So the rule is, don't make a second bracha. Your first bracha of the carbon Pesach will exempt the carbon Chagiga, and don't make a bracha now on the carbon Chagiga. But the other way around, Berach Eshel Zevach, you made a bracha on the carbon Chagiga first, which is the right way you should have done it. So don't think that you'll exempt the carbon Pesach. No, lo pater eshel Pesach. It doesn't pater the Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, these are the words of Rabbi Shmuel. And the reason Rabbi Shmuel is, the carbon Pesach is the main one. Chagiga is like the secondary. So the main one, you know, if you did it the wrong way around, you brought the main one first, even though the main one's supposed to be brought second, then its bracha will exempt the second one, the carbon Chagiga. But when you're doing it the right way, the Karban Chagiga first and then the Karban Pesach, don't think your Karban Chagiga bracha will pater or will exempt the Karban Pesach bracha. Rather, no, you have to make two separate brachas. But if you switch the order by mistake, then the bracha of the Karban Pesach will exempt the Karban Chagiga, because the Karban Pesach is the main one, and the Karban Chagiga is just the secondary. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva argues, Rabbi Kiva says no. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lozu paterazu, lozu paterazu. Neither of them can exempt each other, if you brought it the right way, which of course they're not going to exempt each other, which is first the Chagiga, then the Pesach, or even the other way around. Neither of them can exempt each other, and you're always going to make two separate brachos, one for the Pesach and one for the Chagiga, regardless of the order. And the Gemara explains, you know, simply that the blood of a Karban Pesach was with Shficha. Shvicha means the Kohen would stand next to the Mizbeach, and he would spill it gently, you know, by the Yisod, by the foundation of the Mizbeach. But all other Karbanos, for example, a Karban Chagiga, the blood was spritched from a distance. So there's a different process in the blood. Now Rabbi Kiva holds that if you change the way you're supposed to be spritzing the blood, then you don't fulfill your mitzvah. One has a spilling with nachas, with gentle spill. That's the Karban Pesach. Other Karbanos, you spritz it from afar. So each one has its process with the blood, and you can't, you know, switch them up. So just like you can't switch over, you know, switch around the way you're supposed to be doing the service with the blood, so through Rabbi Kiva will hold, you can't, you know, have one exempt the other with the bracha, because they're fundamentally two separate things. So that's Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Because they're different in the way their blood is brought, so do their brachas are different, and they can't exempt each other. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel argues, and he says that no, the zrika, the spritzing from afar, is included in the category of shvicha, of spilling it gently next to the mizbeach. So therefore, the chagiga could be included in the Karban Pesach, and if you made the bracha on the Karban Pesach first, it'll exempt the chagiga. But the shvicha, the spilling it gently, is not included in the zrika, spritzing it from afar. And therefore, when you're first doing the spritzing, the carbon chagiga, it doesn't exempt the carbon Pesach, and therefore you make two separate brachas there. So this is the debate between the two shitas. We hold like Rabbi Akiva, and neither of them could exempt each other. Whether you did it the right way or you switched them around, you always have to have two separate brachos. And this concludes Masechta Pesachim. Mazel tov to all our listeners. I'm looking forward to starting Shkolim on Sunday.